The COVID-19 pandemic has affected most of the health system, including HK. An organization is urging the federal government to push for additional culturally and linguistically diverse staff in Australia's aged care sector. Australia is a multicultural country, with many migrants adopting Australia as their home. However, as the population ages, the CAL community has specific needs the aged care sector needs to provide, such as bilingual or even so multilingual staff. The Wire's Chelsea Miller started asking CEO of One Passport and Managing Director of the Age Community and Disability Network, Michael Ma, his thoughts on the situation of the aged care sector.
We don't have enough staff, full stop. We need to solve that at a big picture level. Now, if you look at where the workforce comes from, aged care isn't as attractive to many people. It's a very physical job. It's lowly paid. So we have to understand that and also make sure that we make it as easy as possible to find the people who do want to work in aged care. It might be that they can't find a job somewhere else. Maybe they're unemployed and on Centrelink as a job active recipient. Or it might be they're newly arrived and they don't have the skills to find a job in another sector as yet because of their language skills maybe. Or it might be they're an international student. The work of aged care, because it's 24/7, you can get a job or have shifts, that it works around their study timetable. But we've got to make it easier for those people to be able to find work in it. So we call it being able to attract, engage and retain workforce. We see things like aged care homes right now where the staff have got PTSD, similar to soldiers, because they are trying their utmost, but they've had the normal aged care challenges. They've had COVID. So part of normal COVID aged care challenges includes palliative care. Of course, when people pass on, and if you've been looking after someone for 6 months, they die. Even as a carer, as a professional, you still get affected because you build a bond with the residents in a home. But COVID has put this whole other level on top of that. Staff not sure if they were going to get COVID and potentially die. Staff not being able to see their families. Staff having to perform a much stronger role in each resident's life because the resident's families couldn't come to visit them during COVID. The mandatory quarantining of anyone with COVID or secondary contacts to people with COVID, etc., meant that staff were operating frequently at a very limited capacity. So you've got staff who are doing their utmost to perform and provide and look after their residents, but there's only 50% of what should be on the floor.
So we've just spoken about COVID. How else do you think the pandemic has affected culled Australians in the aged care sector, not only in retired Australians, but also staff too?
Well, a lot of the staff who work in aged care are from overseas. So COVID closed our borders. So that immediately we lost international students. As I mentioned there, they're very common working in aged care because being able to work, it's a low entry point. It's not like you need a nursing degree. You can go and do a certificate 3 in individual support and start work. So it's low entry requirement and it's very flexible. You can do weekend shifts and night shifts and different hours of the day. So it fits around the lifestyle of an international student very well. So we lost all the international students. And we also lost any working holiday students or working holiday people who come in, even though they're not as big a work cohort as international students. We also lost permanent migration people who were coming to Australia and potentially might have started in aged care for a couple of years before they lined all their ducks up in a row to be able to apply for other types of work. So COVID, the border closures due to COVID really impacted the aged care workforce.
How important do you think it is to integrate more CALD aged care staff into the sector?
I don't think we can operate aged care without being realistic and understanding that a large percentage of the workforce are from overseas or CAL backgrounds. That is just the nature of the organisation. For good or for bad, that's how it works. So we need to make sure that it is easy for people from a CAL background to be able to understand what they're getting into, get a job, get supported in that job. And that's everything from understanding how the requirements. I need a certificate 3 and I need to show my visa. I need to get a flu shot and a COVID shot. I need to fill in a resume. We meet a lot of people who come from CAL backgrounds who they might have the skills and the experience and the vaccinations and all the things that you need to be able to do the work. But because they're not great at, say, Microsoft Office and formatting a resume in an English context, they get hung up on that little step. So how do we make it easier for them? Then we need CALD workers in aged care because we've got people who, as you get older and especially something like dementia, you might revert to your childhood language and cultural norms. As an example, here in Melbourne the other year, we were asked to help find a certain type of carer because on the north side of Melbourne, they had Lebanese widowers who were reverting to Arabic with dementia. And as Muslims, they'd prefer not to have a female carer who wasn't family. So we were looking for a male Muslim carer who spoke Arabic and had his own car. So without those skills, those little particular things, you can't really service the industry. So it's important that we really get cowled workers into the industry, because as the latest census shows, you know, something like half of Australia, or over half of Australia, was either born overseas or has at least one parent born overseas. So those understandings of language and culture are vital to aged care.
What are the other needs of Australians with a cowled background when in aged care?
I think it's a better understanding of their language and cultural backgrounds. I was supporting a home a few years ago who were having issues because they had a cohort of staff who came from Sudan, China, India. Their residents came from very white parts of Eastern Europe, and the management were Australian-born, white Australian, Anglo background. And because the residents were reverting at, you know, in their late 90s with dementia to their childhood thinking, and they had grown up in a country that didn't have people who weren't white, they were making what we would call racist comments to the staff because they came from Sudan and China and India. And you can't really stop a 97-year-old with dementia and say, hey, we don't say that. So you've got to teach the staff and say, you know, they don't really understand that. But then as in Australia, we're taught that we're not allowed to really talk about racist things. We all have to integrate everyone. So it's very hard to have as a management team in the middle, how do we deal with racism? Especially when one group have got dementia and you can't really pull them up and say, hey, we don't say that. So language training, cultural sensitivity training, understanding for the workforce that because it is really one-sided, you've got to have a thick skin for some of these situations. We do our best to support you. It makes it very difficult. But it also means that when you've got dementia, it makes it vital that you have people from those cultures in the right homes.
That was CEO of One Passport, Michael Ma. Ending the story from The Wires, Chelsea Mila.